And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to episode number 114 of Revitalize and Replant. My name is Tom Rainer. I am joined by Mark, the International Harvester Hat Clifton. And Mark,
I brought you a hat today, by the way.
Oh, did I give you a Church Answers hat?
No, you did not.
I need actually to give you a Church Answers hat before
you
leave.
And, yes, you do. Four of them, because Christmas is coming up and I got four kids, so it'd be nice to.
I might actually, if they'll actually wear them, I might actually do that for you.
No, I did bring you a Church Answers. Yours is cool looking.
Yeah.
Mine's farmer looking.
Yeah, well, this Church Answers hat was picked by son Sam Rainer, and he said, get Richardson. It's the best brand.
Well, there you go.
And so Amy J. got Richardson, and we have a few of those still left, and you're happy to have one. Does this seem vacuous without Jonathan?
It seems vacuous without Jonathan. It seems like we're just two old men sitting in McDonald's shooting the breeze.
No, we're at a Cracker Barrel or rocking chair. And we're rocking back. Hey, Mark, what do you think? Huh? What'd you say? Huh?
With you and I, it's kind of like we're really the Earth, Wind, and Fiber tour.
I love that. I absolutely love that. You know, one long ago, a little over a month ago, that we were at the North American Mission Board doing the Worship and Replant Conference. And I tell you, I looked over out at that group, with the exception of the Church Replanter of the Year, who was a 72-year-old
yeah,
man.
Yeah, right.
Everything just seems so young now, Mark. And there's a reason for that.
I know, by comparison, right?
Yes. Everything's on the other side of us, and you are younger than I am, so I have to keep that in mind. What we're going to do today, Mark, is we're going to listen to the listeners. We have some great listeners. Everywhere we go.
I was coming down here this morning
at
dark 30. I left my house out in Kansas at 4 o'clock in the morning because I'm committed to fly in here and do these live and in person. I just do anything to be in the same room with you, Dr. Rainer.
You like Nashville. You can care less about me.
That's actually true. But anyway, as I was coming to the airport, as I was walking across the parking lot, this young man gets out of his car and he hollers at me. And he says, I need a hat. Seriously, he did.
I saw that on Facebook.
I kind of recognized him, but didn't really. And so we connected, and he was headed down to New Orleans to the National Baptist Convention meeting, and he listens to the podcast, and he wanted a hat, and he wants to be a replanter. So there you go.
Okay.
It was pretty cool.
Do you happen to remember his first name?
Steve.
Steve. Shout out to Steve.
Yep.
Yeah, because I saw him on Facebook, and he was proudly wearing the International Harvester hat. It was really good.
And for the first-time listeners, although, you know, we get thousands each week that tune in for the first time, International Harvester, Jesus is the International Harvester who brings in the harvest.
I called you the International Harvester hat.
I did not
call you
that. But people want to know, what's the deal with that if this is the first time they've ever heard it? And it's because replanting is like farming. It's hard, it's difficult, it's laborious, but just like farming, God brings the rain and the sun and makes the crops grow, and replanting, Jesus brings in the harvest.
So let's
sing Just As I Am and We'll Be Done. So, no, it was good.
We'll go down a path just a little. We don't have Jonathan to bring us in.
I know.
Anymore,
they're all going to be like this from now on. No rails.
And by the way, Kevin Ezell is doing the every other week one, just like you're doing the every other week one. So that could get a bit humorous.
Of course, I've set the bar pretty high, so I'm not sure if Kevin's going to really be.
You have set a bar.
Yeah.
So
we'll
do it. So we're doing listener Q&A.
All right.
We've got some great listeners, and we got a great audience, and this audience continues to grow. And my guess is we may not get to all of them we scheduled for today, and we may have to put this one, we may have to have part two of listener Q&A. We'll see how it goes. But I really do appreciate all the listeners at Revitalize and Replant, and we don't take you for granted. We love you, and we're going to try to do a good job of listening to you today. So, Mark, the International Harvester Hat Clifton, question number one from Stan with a few prefatory comments. I have appreciated your podcast on revitalization. On the topic of transitioning pastoral staff, I have men who are getting older without retiring, but the church needs some younger men. I have some who could, but I can't bring these other guys out in parallel to the older guys. In other words, you can't afford them all. This is very difficult. I guess it'd be helpful to hear other experienced pastors speak to this. Maybe there's something I'm not thinking of. Is this a common situation?
It is. And, you know, as I was reading what Stan wrote, he actually said, I have some men on staff who are getting older without a retirement.
Oh, so they don't have a retirement plan is what he's saying.
Right. So what we're into here, and we have all experienced this, who any of us who've been in denominational work or church work, we've experienced individuals who did not plan for retirement. Mm-hmm. And then we feel, obviously, an obligation not to kick them to the curb and have them basically live below the poverty level in their retirement after having served for so many years for the kingdom. And so you get this stress that this pastor's feeling. If these men had planned well for retirement and it was just a matter of they really need to be told you need to move on, I think he probably would feel more comfortable doing it. But he feels an obligation to them personally because they have no retirement and they need this income. And that's a very difficult challenge. That's true, too, even in a replant. Sometimes we'll see a single pastor. They don't have staff. And he'll just hold on because, unfortunately, maybe he opted out of Social Security or whatever. He has no retirement at all.
So they have nothing. They have no 401k, no 403b, no Social Security.
Nothing.
No pension, nothing. And probably hardly anything in savings. So
exactly.
It is a precarious situation. There are two parts to this, and I'm going to answer the first part. Then I'm going to turn it back over to you to help Stan a little bit because my answer is not going to help Stan. This is a comment to all of your churches out there, not as necessarily for the pastor and staff, but for those who take care of the budgets of churches. Make sure your staff, your pastor, has a retirement plan. Make certain that when it's all said and done, that you are not only providing for today, but you are providing for tomorrow. I really believe that that is part of the stewardship responsibility of churches. And if you don't, we get into situations, as Stan is speaking about, and we get into situations where we just simply have to say, what do we do? Which is where I will turn this back to you. And how do you respond to Stan on something
well,
like
Stan,
this?
Actually, you're going to give account before the Lord for how you shepherded or under-shepherded the entire flock, not just the two or three men who didn't plan for retirement. So at the end of the day, you have to look at what is your responsibility to the church that God has entrusted you with. And you always have to, that has to be the prominent feature in any decision you make. And so you know what you have to do just by sending us the question. You know what you have to do. You're not saying, you know, should I move these older men who've passed their prime and are not really functioning well in this role, should I move them over and begin to use the next generation? You're asking, how do I do that, really,
yes.
I think. And the fact that you're asking that, you know what your obligation is, not only, Stan, to the church as a whole body, but obviously to these young men, when you consider that God has called them and you can see the leadership in them and they need to have that opportunity. And so I think you just have to understand that this is going to be a difficult choice. There's no easy pathway here, but there's a right pathway, a correct one. Now, what I've done in the past, obviously, is I try to find some other ministry role for these men somewhere else within the region. And if you're in denomination, talk to your denominational area directors or whatever. Is there a small church that needs a pastor, a bivocational situation? Is there another church that could use a senior adult minister? Do all you can do to help them find another meaningful place in ministry. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to make the decision that you know in your heart God is asking you to make, which is for the good of the church body and for the next generation coming along. And even for these older gentlemen, they need to find in their life some purpose and meaning at the end rather than just simply
right.
running out the clock. It's not helpful to them either. So it's a difficult situation, but it can be handled. And look, the Lord can, we know this, He can provide for all these needs. And so certainly through intensive prayer and doing all we can do to make sure that that happens. But you're just going to have to make those calls, and you're going to have to put the next generation in leadership role.
I don't want to have lack of pastoral care in this, but there's another part. I took the first part of the response to talk about the responsibility of the congregation. There is also a greater responsibility to the individual to make sure they are not a burden upon anyone when they get to their point where they are ready, age to retire or need to retire. So the ultimate responsibility for being prepared is, and it's pretty biblical, to be gathering the seed for the future when you are at that point. So basically I'm saying here, Mark, is, hey, wherever you are in ministry, we're talking to pastors and others in church life specifically, you need to be preparing for retirement and not put that burden on someone else.
Exactly right. And not hinder the kingdom. The last thing you want to do when you've given your life and sacrificially worked for the good of the kingdom is at the very end become really a hindrance to the kingdom because you didn't plan well or prepare well or make good choices. And look, all of us have made mistakes. I'm not trying to heap coals on anybody's head. But you don't want to end up in that place. But again, I go right back to Stan, whoever else is listening to this. Your obligation is to Jesus and His church. And you know what His plan is. He's made it clear to you, or He will. And you know what you have to do because you're going to stand before the Lord and give account for how you handled that church. Now, you can still handle these older gentlemen with great love and compassion. And you can, as I said, try to find them another role in ministry, perhaps another even bivocational role, or even perhaps another part-time job or something like that. But you're going to have to do what you know you need to do.
I had a conversation with a very similar situation pastor about 5 or 6 years ago. And his comment to me was, and I was not a part of the sending him out, but his comment to me was, I can't believe that they're doing this to me. Mm. And I responded to him, look, you are at the age that if it happened, you should have been prepared. So don't try to shift the blame to the church for what is taking place. Be responsible. The good news is this individual has had a series of interim pastorates that has supplemented whatever. I think his wife had a little bit of retirement coming in. So they've been able to make it. But it's not what the church does to us. It's what we have to do for the kingdom.
Absolutely right.
All right. Let's try to get another question in before we maybe do a part two on this. I am a pastor of a church in the UK. Mark, that is not University of Kentucky.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's not. Just want to let you know that's United Kingdom. And I do love our international audience, by the way, of around 50 people currently going through a revitalization. New location, back in the community where we were birthed. My question is, how do you help others improve and develop their gifting without giving them the feeling you are telling them they are doing a bad job? Many thanks. Thank you so much for your wisdom. I think this part's to me. Thank you so much for your wisdom and willingness to share so much. As a young and very much learning on the job pastor, you have been such a blessing to me. Don't you love it when James says things like that?
I do.
I love it. So Mark, he wants to know, how can you help people improve in their place of ministry, if I'm saying this, and develop their gifting because they're really not doing it right now, if I'm hearing him correctly?
Is he saying they're a dumpster fire and we got to put it out? Is that kind of what he's saying?
Well, let's see. He says we want them to improve and we want them to develop their gifting, which basically means I think he wants to unleash the laity to do the work of ministry.
But he does say without telling them they're doing a bad job. So you read between the lines. It's not here. And we've all been this way.
The first two are questions behind the questions.
Yes. And, you know, having been a pastor of mostly almost all normative sized churches, we all get into the situation where we have people sometimes who are very willing but have no ability, no giftedness, and actually their involvement becomes a hindrance rather than a plus. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if, you know, we'd be better off if they weren't doing children's ministry because they're just absolutely not doing. I mean, one of the first replants I went to, my wife said, you've got to come here and take a look at this. We got to take care of this right away. And there was a lady who was watching the children. She loved to watch the children. She found it very fulfilling to watch the children. That was her call in ministry. That's how she found her joy. But she had a little coffee pot because she liked coffee. She had it sitting on a little kid's chair in there, plugged into the wall so she could have her coffee at the very height where the kids could get to it. Well, obviously.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
really?
I know. I went in and unplugged it and said, we can't do this. You know, I keep them away from it. But I mean, it was indicative that she had no real concept of how to handle children or deal with children. And it was really a bad situation. In her mind, she loved kids. She loved doing this. And so I think maybe James doesn't have anything quite that drastic. But I guarantee you some people listening to this program have people in the church who are just that drastic. And if you try to take that away from them, they'll just pitch a major league fit and tell you, this is what Jesus asked me to do. How can you take this away from me? And I go back to what we just said to Stan. You are responsible to the Lord for that church.
And similar situation.
And if they're teaching, if they're leading, if their involvement is actually hindering the growth of the kingdom and robbing God of His glory and keeping the church from doing what Jesus wants it to do, you got to do what Jesus wants you to do, and you're going to have to talk to that person and say, look, we need to find some other place for you to serve. Now, if they just need encouragement to go in the right direction, that's a different situation, and that's a much easier situation than trying to, as he said, you know, how do you help them without telling them they're doing a bad job? Sometimes the best way you can help them is to tell them they're doing a bad job.
Yep, that's making the tough decisions and have to do so right away. Mark, you and I have been working together, and let's see, this is episode 114, so 2 years now?
Way back in the 60s is when we started.
I remember that. Oh, by the way, did you download that song by the Brooklyn Bridge?
I didn't, but I do have the other songs by the Brooklyn Bridge. But I'll tell you what, during the break, I'll download it, I'll learn it, and then we can sing it on the next podcast.
Welcome Me Love, in case you didn't take notes from last time.
All right, I'll do it.
I think it made it to number 48 on the charts in 1965, if I recall correctly.
I will.
All right, so we've got this situation with James. Now, you've known me for a couple of years. Where do you think, knowing me, my personality, my gifting, and lack thereof, as a member of a church, where do you think one of the worst places to place me would be?
A greeter.
Exactly.
A greeter. I have to think twice about that.
Exactly. You know what one of my roles is at the church? I'm on the welcome team.
Are you really?
Yes, I am. I really am. They thought because I wrote a book on it that I could do it.
Well, we got them fooled, don't we?
Oh, no, I got no one fooled. I mean, so what they've done is they did have me at the front door. And by the way, my son's the pastor there. So,
okay.
But this is not his doing. This is kind of the welcome team watching me. They started me out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And they said, nah, they didn't tell me this, but I could tell it's happening. You know, we really don't want Rainer to be the first impression of people driving.
With that great big smile on his face or
yes.
That look like you didn't park your car correctly.
Yeah, get it. And then they moved me to the front door.
Yeah.
We don't want him greeting people at the front door.
No, because he won't shake their hands.
Then they moved me to what they call runner.
Runner.
I'm getting more on the interior. Exterior, parking, front door. Now a runner, that's someone that is right after the front door, after people come in, and if they need to sign up their children for the church area, you take them there, you point them, whatever questions they have, you provide an escort to wherever they want to go. So that's the runner. Nah, we didn't want him interacting with people that much. Now they have me as a worship greeter. And what that means is when someone sits down, they're coming in the worship service, but particularly when they sit down, I'm supposed to go engage them in conversation. Mark, just to let you know, I think this is the end of the line for me. I've gone as far as into the interior as you can. And I don't know if they're saying, well, he did write a book on it and that's part of it. Or they're saying, you know, he's the pastor's dad and we really don't know what to do with him. Listen, if you're on the welcome team at the church at Spring Hill,
yeah,
particularly if you're one of the leaders, and
right,
whether it's you, Seth, or you, Paul, or one of those captains, the leaders, if you need to move me out, here I am. Here am I. Send me out. I will be happy.
You know, in all seriousness, if you were not confident in who you are and your calling and all that kind of thing, you know, you might feel a little bit intimidated by the fact they kept moving you. You know, obviously I'm not doing well here. Obviously I'm not doing well there. And I think that's kind of what James is talking about here is how do I encourage these people without discouraging them and telling them not doing a really good job. And
well, I'm telling the church at Spring Hill, I will not be discouraged if you want to remove me.
Oh, I got you.
But here is what they want, Mark. They want to make sure that Nellie Jo is there, and they want to keep her because she's always smiling and friendly and great, and she's on the welcome team. So they usually do couples, but never I cannot think of a contrast in couples like Nellie Jo and me. Friendly, sweet, outgoing. I'm none of the above.
Uh-huh.
I'm absolutely none of the above. So they want to keep her on the welcome
team.
And
I can vouch for that, ladies and gentlemen.
By the way, I did meet Miss C for the first time in person in Alpharetta, and it was good to meet her.
And she's very quiet and reserved and polite and not sarcastic. So we're very different as two. So.
You are very different, but both of our wives can very much put us in our place when necessary.
With one look, one glance.
By the way, we'll get to the rest of the question next time. I just got one more story and we'll wrap it up. Mark, he had a groupie come up to him at one point during this trip, and it was Miss C, Mark, and they were sitting at a table, if I remember the story right, and the guy comes up to him and said, come join us for the meal. They joined you for the meal, and you walked away for a moment, and that guy told Miss C, I can't believe I'm sitting with Mark Clifton. Is that close to the story?
Yeah, he told my wife that. He did. Yeah, he said, I can't believe I'm sitting here having a meal with Mark Clifton. I listen to the podcast every week because she's about ready to throw up her lunch at that point.
Chick-fil-A, exhale. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and our wives keep us humble. They do. And we both need to be kept humble, by the way.
Well, whatever.
Hey, I hope we help James on that. I mean, obviously, you want to fan the flame that's in them. You want to obviously encourage them in the things they're doing well and reward them for that. But if they're doing some things badly, again, let them know they're doing it badly. And just like we did with Stan earlier, it's hard being a pastor.
Yes.
I mean, it is. It's tough work. And you know, on the one hand, we want everybody to love us and care for us and that kind of thing. But on the other hand, your primary responsibility is to the Lord, to be his under-shepherd, and you will give account someday for that. And I think, Dr. Rainer, one of the reasons so many churches are in decline and struggle so much is because perhaps the pastors are just not being, let's be honest about it, the leaders they need to be.
There you go.
And they've sort of given up that leadership role. And if they give it up, somebody else will take it in the church. And they won't be called to it, they won't be committed to it, and the church will suffer for it. So you got to be a leader, and it's not easy to do.
Well, as you can imagine, we took two questions and went a while with it. For Jonathan, spell with an H, we'll be getting to your question in another episode about your church is doing well, and you want to share that your church is doing well with other pastors, but you don't want to seem braggadocious. To Joe, who has people part of the replanting that aren't showing up on Sundays. We'll talk about Joe.
We don't mean to laugh at you, Joe, but we just did.
And then from Ed, this wondering, is his church too far gone? In other
words, Ed Stetzer?
Yeah, well, it doesn't say we can do whatever we want to. Thank you for joining us for this issue, this episode. I tell you what, we've gone. Do we need Jonathan back?
Oh, we need him badly as an adverb. We'll put an all-points bulletin out for him.
Revitalize and Replant is sponsored by the North American Mission Board and ChurchReplanters.com. More than 10% of churches in North America are at risk of closing, and the North American Mission Board is committed to reversing this trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches while simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new churches. To learn more about what it means to become a replanting pastor or to explore resources for replanting and revitalization in your church, visit ChurchReplanters.com. Thank you again, Mark. Thank you for being a part of episode number 114. Look forward to seeing you in the even episodes and in the odd episodes. Kevin Ezell, there's just so much to that. Thank you again for joining us on Revitalize and Replant, where we are growing, replanting, and revitalizing healthier churches together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.